But now it's time, finally, to meet our teen docents from Carnegie Museum of Natural History. And this is a program where kids from 13 years of age and older become trained museum volunteers, answering visitors' questions about exhibitions within the museum. Most often, if you've been in the Museum of Natural History, exploration carts are accompanying these kids, and they've been working on the Alcoa Foundation Hall of American Indians in that area, and the Dinosaurs in Their Time area, the Walton Hall of Ancient Egypt, and the Hall of African Wildlife, also insects. And it's going to be fun to meet folks, and we're just going to sort of go around the table here, and I'm going to start from the left over here. What's your name?
Eli,
and tell me your full name if you can. Eli who?
Elijah Wenzel.
And where do you go to school?
I go to Ligonier Valley Middle School.
Well, how nice to have you here. What got you interested in doing this?
I've always liked natural history, and I've really enjoyed volunteering throughout my life, so this is a combination of the two, so I wanted to do it. And I did something like this where I lived in Ohio.
And now, are you, Ligonier Valley is in Ligonier, or close
yes.
to Ligonier, so that's quite a commute every day for
it's
you to come in.
It's not bad when we come in, because we have to be here around 11:30. I come in at about 11:15, so I leave somewhere around 10, and it only takes a little under an hour to get here.
Now, how old are you?
13.
Now, how do you get in?
My mother or father will normally drive me.
Well, that's nice that works. I'd like to meet all of you, and then we're going to ask some general questions of all of you. But let's see who's here next to you. What's your name?
Josh McHugh.
And Josh, sort of the drill, where are you from? How old are you? That stuff.
I'm from Scottsdale, PA, and I'm 13.
Okay, and let's see who we have next. What's your name?
I'm Ellen Harris.
And Ellen, how old are you? Where are you from?
I'm 15, and I'm from Wexford.
It's nice to meet you, and sitting next to you is who?
I'm Manu Nagashanmugam.
Hi, and where are you from, and how old are you?
I'm from Fox Chapel, and I'm 17.
So far, you're the elder of the group. We'll see if that holds true. What's your name?
My name is Sean Ray.
And the school you go to and where you're from?
I go to Thomas Jefferson High School, and I am 16, just turned.
Congratulations, happy birthday, and sitting on your right is who?
I'm Jonathan Bigelow.
And where do you go to school?
Drexel University.
And you may lose the elder status. How old are you now?
I'm 19 years old.
What are you studying at Drexel?
Political science.
Excellent. And finally, we have two more. What's your name?
Rachel Hatfield.
And where do you go to school, Rachel?
Bethel Park.
And what year are you in?
Eighth grade.
Bethel Park, you're 13?
14.
14. And?
I'm Georgia Ellick, and I'm 17 years old and go to Pine Richland High School.
And you're heading into your senior year?
Yes, I am.
Do you know what you want to do yet?
I want to be a vet.
Wow. It's a great experience to be involved with the Museum of Natural History. So how many docents? There's certainly more than eight, I would imagine. And the first thing that occurs to me, well, has anybody done this in prior years, or is this the first year for everybody? First year for everyone?
This is Jonathan. It's my second year. Jonathan, I don't know what
I've been here for about 5 years.
Yeah, one of the things that strikes me is friendships you must make with people that you get to meet. Maybe you can talk about that since you've done this for 5 years, because here you're all from different locations, and I suspect you wouldn't have met one another had it not been for this particular program. What's that like?
Oh, yeah, it's very nice. I did make a lot of friends being a docent at the museum. I've known Manu for a few years, and I still keep in touch with many of them.
Yeah, and it gives you a chance to meet people that have interests similar to yours. What do you do as a docent? And anybody can sort of jump in and tell me. Do you want to explain that?
What we generally do is we get a cart full of touchable stuff relating to a certain exhibit, and we will take it to an area, and we will set up shop in a certain area and people will come by and stop at the cart. We could tell them about stuff on the cart or tell them about, like, stuff in the exhibits overall.
So it's almost like a shopping cart, probably with different levels, and you've got artifacts and other things that people can actually look at. I'm trying to visualize it. Is that pretty much the way it goes?
Yeah, basically.
And what kinds of questions are you asked as you go through this? You must have to have a lot of knowledge to be able to answer these questions. Are people curious when they see these carts, or what happens when they come up to you?
Normally, they ask us how many of the artifacts are real, or a lot of times they're interested in how we obtain this knowledge. We go through training when we first start, and we also get questions about how old is this, how was it discovered, how do you make these, why is it significant.
Do people ever ask you, how do you know that something is so old? You know, how can you tell me that this is 1,000 years old? I would think that would be a question people ask, maybe not.
I've never gotten that question, but I've only been here. This is my first year, so I'm not sure if other people have gotten that, but it's pretty well established that some things are millions of years old. Wow. So I think most people just take it at face value.
Yeah. I guess with carbon dating, there's a lot of knowledge about that. So what kind of training do you get? Is it with the scientists? Are you watching films or tapes? DVDs? What's it like before? Is there a minimum amount of training you have to have before you get set out into the public? Please, go. Just step.
This is my first year as a teen docent, so I just got out of training, and we did about 36 hours of training, approximately, at 4-hour intervals, usually every 2 weeks or so. And it was a really, really interesting process. They would have experts from all over the museum come in and tell us about, like, the various things on the cart and even the things in the exhibit. We got a lot more information than just about what's on the cart. They did a really good job of teaching us, like, everything about the museum.
And it's Ellen, right?
Ellen, yeah.
Okay. And 36 hours, did you say?
It doesn't seem that long, though, like, because it's spread out over several months.
That's a lot of training. I mean, that's nearly an entire work week of training. So it must feel really good to get this knowledge once you do it. Does anybody work with little kids a lot when they come up? It looks like you might.
Yeah, I work with little kids in summer camps.
Which exhibit are you closest to?
Jurassic.
Okay, so you've got lots of kids asking you about dinosaurs and mm-hmm. things. Can you share some of the questions that, if you're working with very young kids, you've probably had some questions that have sort of tickled you or that have been fun to answer, I'll bet.
Like, how old is this? Like, what is this? Where was it found? So, yeah.
Do you ever get somebody that just won't stop asking questions?
No.
No? Other than me, huh? I'm curious, why is natural history important? Does anybody have any strong feelings about it? You're all spending a considerable amount of your time as... these are unpaid positions, I think, right? So you're unpaid docents for the summer. You must have some pretty strong feelings about natural history and why it matters so much. Does anybody want to jump in on that? Please.
When I go to college, I'm planning on being a biology major.
And this is Minu.
Minu. Yeah.
And what attracts you to biology as a major?
Well, there's just so much to biology, and a lot of that, like, I took AP Biology in the past year, and a lot of what I've done at the museum has really integrated with my class. And the best part about biology is that there's just so much to it that you... like, you wouldn't notice it at face value when you look around you, but then when you really think about it, like, biology is everywhere. And I think the museum really does a good job incorporating that.
You know, I think that's important. I didn't like biology at all. I have a degree in chemical engineering. I loved chemistry. I just didn't get biology. And I think I would have been more attracted to it had I had more of an experiential exposure to it, such as what you're having. What kinds of biology does the museum sort of help flesh out for you? Insects come to mind immediately, but there must be some other things too.
Well, evolution was the biggest part for me, and then a lot of classification, because biology, there's a lot of classification in it, and that really ties in with evolution. And the museum has a lot of, I learned a lot of families and phylums and the whole shtick via the museum.
I'll bet. Did anybody else find biology or evolution to be something particularly, anybody, do you have anything to add?
Well, what I always found interesting about biology is it's pretty much telling you how the world works in terms of life. You know, it's, you know, very interesting to find out how things happen within animals or people or why they happen and such. It's like basically you're finding out everything, like if you ever asked why or how this worked or how did this happen, in biology basically can tell you most of that stuff.
And this is Sean, by the way, that's speaking with so many voices. I want to be sure you know who's who. And that is, it does provide some puzzle answers almost, or fills in between things. You were going to add something, too?
Well, for me, the one of becoming a vet and stuff, this really would help. This really is sort of helping me interact with the public and that kind of thing. I used to be extremely shy, but the thing is about biology, for me, it was always easy for me to understand as opposed to chemistry and other things.
You're the opposite of me.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. That's good. I'm curious, you mentioned, you know, being shy. Is this your first year?
It is.
You must have been, well, if you're shy, it doesn't necessarily mean you would be afraid, but were you apprehensive about having to deal with the general public?
To a degree, but it was kind of like, it became easier for me to talk to the public when I realized that there were things that I could relate to, like the American Indian exhibit, because I'm Native American, so it was easy for me to start talking about it and that kind of thing.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was curious about experiences with that exhibit, and we probably should start with you, since you've worked with that exhibit. What kinds of, did you discover a lot of misconceptions by people visiting?
Oh yeah, you always have misconceptions sometimes, but because it's kind of like people are like, they don't really understand everything about the culture, and sometimes the cart that we have out is totally ignored, and so we basically, what I do is I try to do anything necessary to get the people to come over and that kind of thing. I'll act like a total fool or do things that'll get them to come over, like play the drum, little kids like the drum and that kind of thing. Or there's times where people look at the pictures around the walls that we have, and they'll ask me if I'm real.
They'll ask you if you're real. That's lovely. Actually, we had somebody once looking outside of the glass in at me and wanting to know if I was real or not. They actually asked somebody, and I couldn't understand how you could possibly.
I feel your pain then.
You were going to add?
Yeah, there's one funny thing with the whole real thing is we have a bugs cart with a living insect on it, and everyone always comes up and asks, is it real? And now it's like, well, they're all real. This one's just alive.
It's funny, the questions. How, I'm just curious, getting back, and is it Georgia? Forgive me.
It is.
I'm trying to remember everybody's names as best I can. If somebody has, especially an adult, a significant misconception, gently correcting that sometimes would be a challenge, I think. You don't want to say, you're wrong. You know, I mean, how do you, or if you hear an adult maybe giving an explanation to one of their children that is not quite as informed as it should be, does that kind of stuff happen?
It It does, and I think it happens at not just American Indian, but just at every cart sometimes, because except sometimes dinosaurs, little kids are, like, extremely knowledgeable about dinosaurs. They, like, know all the names and stuff, and we're still trying to figure them out half the time. But I guess the way we would sometimes do that is just keep giving the information and not really say you're wrong. Just keep just keep talking and that kind of thing, or just don't really say, hey, this is right, this is wrong. No, just keep talking about what you were talking about, and then they'll get it.
That's a good way to do it. Does anybody else have any advice when that happens?
In some ways, I just like to connect. Like, if they said something that's, like, not necessarily perfectly correct, but, like, a little bit off, I just like to connect it back to, like, an artifact so that it'll bring them into the cart and it actually gives them some knowledge.
And one reason I bring this up is that's a really important life skill, whether you're inside of a museum or not, is there are times interacting with other people that you need to, you know, have an informative discussion without offending the other person you're talking with. You're going to add something. This is Eli, by the way.
In terms of trying to gently tell somebody that they're information is false, the phrase "well, actually" is pretty good because it sounds as if you're about to start talking about an artifact that somebody might not know about, instead of just blatantly saying, you're wrong, this is false.
So you would say, well,
the actual truth behind this,
yeah.
Or it's actually, the word actually, for some reason, most people can respond to that very well.
Yeah, I think you're right. Does anybody else find themselves using other phrases all the time, like keywords?
Well, a lot of time, like Georgia said, some of the kids, they know a lot about dinosaurs, and they do tend to question your knowledge sometimes. You'll tell them, like, oh, this is an Allosaurus claw, and they'll be like, no, it isn't. And you're like, oh, okay. And then you move on to the next thing, and you kind of just have to, like, you can correct them a few times, but at a certain point they get a little antsy, and they want you to know what it is.
Maybe we need a kindergartner docent program where kindergartners lead people. That would actually be, we'll talk with Marilyn about that. That would actually be kind of fun to do. One question I've got for all of you, and we just have a few minutes left, but is it hard for you to look at museums the same way now that you've been behind the scenes of museums, not just natural history museums, but any cultural institution?
I am horribly, horribly judgmental of all other museums.
Can you excuse me for a minute?
definitely not this one, but I went to Toronto a few months ago, and our dinosaur collection is outstanding, and I guess that's because of, like, 80 years of pure dedication, and I was just like, this isn't right. Like, what are you doing? It was awful.
Interesting.
I felt horrible.
Did you say that to
people? No,
yeah.
No.
But it does, it isn't, it's kind of like if anybody's worked in a restaurant, once you have done that, you view restaurants very differently. You were going to add something.
One time I had gone to the Smithsonian Museum when I was vacationing in Washington, D.C., and I remember I went to their dinosaur exhibit, and they had, like, three big dinosaurs, and I literally looked around and said, is this it? we have two T-Rexes, we have, like, two sauropods, we have a whole bunch, we have, like, one of the biggest dinosaur collections. So I remember going there and be like, well, I suppose this is what happens when you have work at the place that has one of the most of something.
Well, and yeah, we take it for granted. I know I do, as somebody that's been around here pretty much my entire life. Doesn't every city have a dinosaur collection as expansive as ours, or a museum as expansive? It's not true, is it?
Yeah, well, I agree with Manu that it's a little bit hard to recognize how well other museums try and strive, because now I work at the Carnegie, and my father in Ohio was the director of a private museum for Ohio State University. So I've always been around biologists and very important scientific artifacts my entire life. So I was at the Smithsonian too, and you know, it may be the national museum for the United States, but Carnegie is better in terms of Jurassic and Cretaceous halls.
Eli had some air quotes around national, by the way, sort of, the so-called national museum. This is a good subject to talk about.
I'm kind of partial to certain museums, like, I guess because I work at Carnegie Museum, I like it a lot, and I think, you know, it's like one of the greatest museums around. And whenever you go to, like, other museums, you think, you know, certain collections aren't as good as Carnegie's collections because you're just used to seeing them all the time, so you can kind of opinionate a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. We just have a couple minutes left. Did anybody want to say something that they didn't get a chance to say? I do have one more thing I'd like to do, but I want to be sure everybody had a chance to mention anything they wanted. I'm getting no objections. I neglected to ask if any of you wanted to say hello to anybody that might be listening now or on our ultimate webcast when this is archived. So just for the good of the audience, I'd like you each to identify yourself again, maybe just by first name this time and your age, because I think they'd be curious. I know our audience wants to know that information again. Some of them tuned in. And if you want to say hello to anybody, feel free, and we'll just sort of go around the table this time, starting here.
I'm Georgia, and I am 17.
No shout outs.
Sorry.
That's okay. I just want to be sure I give you the chance.
I'm Rachel, and I'm 14, and Bethel Park, awesome.
I'm Jonathan, and I'm 19.
I'm Sean, I'm 16, and I'll say hi to my brother, Philip.
I'm new, I'm 17, and Katie, Emily, Margaret, and Amanda, if you're listening, I'm very proud of all of you.
I'm Ellen, I'm 15.
I'm Josh, I'm 13. Hi, lad.
And we've finished up with Eli here.
I'm Eli, 13, from Ligonier, so hi to everybody in Ligonier, I guess.
How terrific. The diamond just acknowledged you. Thanks to all of you for being here today. It's a wonderful program, and I'm so glad we could have you here. And you'll all be there for another month or so, right?
Year-round.
Oh, year? I didn't know that. A year-round? I did not know that. So, wow. So your engagement is for an entire year? Is that the typical period? And you can stay longer, I guess, if you want to. Wow, as long as lots of free labor. Andrew Carnegie would like this. Well, thank you all for being here at the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings. In just a moment, you are going to get a chance to hear just about as many kids and youth, but they'll be singing instead of talking when we welcome South Park Children's Theater. It's 10:32.